right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. David Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. We have the Super Bowl participants, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, and their defense in particular, shut down the New England Patriots. And won 20-18, so Peyton Manning going to another Super Bowl, trying to win his second in his career. He will face the Carolina Panthers, easily the best team in the NFC all year long, only with one loss, playing great defense, although they lost one of their two Pro Bowl linebackers during the game. We'll see if he plays in the Super Bowl, but a great Carolina, really a well-rounded team, and maybe the MVP in Cam Newton. So that's our Super Bowl. We'll talk a little bit about that before the show is over. But first, a lot of IU basketball tonight as they continued their good home form by putting it to Northwestern, 89-57 on Saturday. Rather easy after about the first 13 minutes of the game. Their last several games now, they've had a little bit of a spurt in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the first half. It gets them to halftime with a nice, comfortable lead, and then extended in the second half. They go to Wisconsin tomorrow night on the road at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin down from their last couple years, but that's always a dangerous trip. Ask Michigan State, who lost there just about a week or so ago. But first, back to Assembly Hall and Northwestern. And Glass, we've talked about the schedule. The schedule is what it is. You have to play who's there. Northwestern has had some ups and downs already this year, but more ups than downs. But the Hoosiers, once again, this is another game where they jump out to an 8-0, 10-0 lead. And while they struggled a couple times on the road, getting out to a good start, particularly at Northwestern, at Minnesota, at home, they've done a pretty darn good job of it. And at some point during these games, it hasn't waited until the last 3 minutes of these games, they managed to put the foot on the gas and keep their foot on the gas long enough to kind of start taking the will out of these opponents. Illinois, they're having that kind of season where maybe it wasn't too tough to do that, but with Northwestern, they've been better than that this year, and they put the screws to them.
Well, I think Northwestern, if they could start the game over again, would have started with Alex Ola, because at 10-0, yeah, they brought him in, and all of a sudden he had a dramatic impact in the game. Next thing you know, the game's 13-9, but you dig that hole, it's 13-2, it's 10, whatever it is. Indiana just has too many weapons, and the one thing that I learned from watching the first half, I didn't need to watch much in the second half, was that Indiana beat Northwestern every which way but loose. Matchup zone didn't work. Transition defense didn't work. Man-to-man defense didn't work. Couldn't find shooters. Couldn't find anybody. Couldn't find – everything was layups, free throws, or wide-open threes. And if you're going to do that to Indiana, you are going to get run out of the gym. I'm not sure what they're watching against Illinois. I'm not sure what they're watching against Ohio State. But whatever they saw and thought they would slow down, they didn't take anything away from Indiana, and Indiana took it. And, again, it's 30-22, and all of a sudden Northwestern can't score, and Indiana closes a half out, and they're up, what, 17, 19, 18, whatever it was. Then the game's over, because all Indiana has to do, Dave, for the rest of the game is trade baskets, yeah, and they have no problem doing that. They have no problem getting into, especially at home, any kind of low-confidence situations. You haven't seen that, even against Wisconsin when they struggled finding good shots. They just found a streak, a 3-minute spurt there, which they got the lead and never relinquished again. So if you're going to give this team open looks, I don't know what you're thinking. Maybe it's lost in translation. Maybe they got some guys guarding one thing, guarding another, but Indiana's better than Northwestern. We thought the bookmakers had Indiana as a 10-point favorite. It wasn't a big surprise at the end of the day, and Indiana did exactly what they needed to do at home. Make open shots, make the extra pass, and make the game easy. Everything you saw in that first half, especially the last, there was probably one or two forced shots that jumped out, maybe a couple layups that you thought, well, that's a little out of control going to the basket, but everything else was through the lane, make the pass, get a dunk, throw the pass, layup, swing it one more time. There's another wide open three. Jawan Morgan hits threes. OG's hitting threes. Yeah. Max Biefeld's hitting threes.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's 19 threes against Illinois. It was 13 last night. 9 different players, yeah, made a three against Illinois. 7 made them against Northwestern. We've talked about this team in the past. When they make those shots,
they're unbeatable.
That's great. Are they relying on that right now?
They didn't against Northwestern, because not all of it came from the three-point line. There was layup after layup. Thomas Bryant had his collection of one-footers that went in. Colin Hartman started the game going to the basket, taking the layup, not pulling up for it. But when he hits three threes and two in the first, what, 6-8 minutes of that game? Mm-hmm. I mean, you let those guys get after you. Yogi doesn't even have to get started. Troy didn't even get started in this game at all. Didn't even need Troy. Troy had another game off where he didn't have to bust 38 minutes and get after it. And you hope that's not a trend that's developing, but when Indiana Juwan Morgan sits in the corner, he plays 4 minutes a night, catches the ball in the first half, I'll go ahead and shoot a three, swish.
Yeah, just it nails it, right?
When everything goes in. And the extra pass that was made to get guys layups that even were missed, dunks, everything else that went along with that, they made the extra pass. They were patient. They didn't settle for three-pointers, Dave.
Right.
The wide-open three-pointers.
They were the shots.
They were all step-into threes. They weren't fadeaway threes. They weren't late-in-the-clock threes. It was really good offense. It was really patient offense. And when they're that wide open, they're going to shoot the ball. How many times did you see just in the first 4 or 5 minutes, here they come down the floor. Robert Johnson's first three is a pump fake. Guy flies by him,
exactly.
And he's got a wide-open three. Even Troy gave the old pass fake. The guy went. He missed it, but it was still a great, smart play. You'd like to see Troy drive there. But again, these were all open looks. You didn't see any bad looking offense because they were patient. They got through the lane and they moved the basketball. And when they do that, heck, they've shot 64 threes last week. They made 32 of them.
Well, you talk about moving the basketball. 48 assists in the last two games.
27 and 21.
Again,
very good.
We have to find out if this travels to some of the better places in the Big Ten. But before we get there, they have been sharing the ball awfully well. And the other thing they've been doing on the defensive end, it may not show as much in a defensive statistic, but the last two games they've out-rebounded their opponents by 13 and by 17.
Well,
so they're hitting the glass.
And their opponents haven't had much to rebound because they make everything. There hasn't been a lot of missed
shots. Yeah, well, it's mostly defensive rebounds.
That's
obviously.
Obviously, then there's not that many of them because Indiana's shooting at such an unbelievable percentage at home. The one thing when Indiana, I think, is their most efficient, and you hear Crean talk about this from time to time, when they don't dribble, they are really hard to guard.
Yeah.
When they get into the boom, 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 that gets the defense time to recover. That gets the defense time to shift, time to move. But when they move the basketball, passing it, my goodness, if you're not in the right position, these guys don't need 2 seconds to catch it, get their feet set, and make it. They're ready to catch
They're ready.
They're ready to shoot all in one motion. And again, until guys start missing it, there's no point to stop shooting it. And name a guy that you feel uncomfortable shooting a three.
No.
Recently,
Thomas Bryant made one against Illinois.
Right, because he gets set and he's ready and
we
straight up through
it. We saw both the other freshmen make him in the last two games.
Yeah, and Zeislav, who goes 1 for 3, he's a guy that's wide open.
Heck, Harrison Niego made one. Burton made one.
He had a tough one in the clock. Those were a little bit later in the proceedings.
Max Bielfeld is hitting everything under the sun.
And when Indiana plays that way, when you don't take anything away from Indiana and let them eat, that's not very smart. And I know Chris Collins he knows what he's doing. And again, just because he tells his team to do it and they don't do it, that's one thing. But there wasn't anything taken away there. You didn't see forced to drive. You didn't see quicker rotations. You didn't see much of anything. And all you saw was tink, 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 the score going up, up, and up,
this
and another blowout win.
Playing very well. A couple easy wins at home. Again, we'll talk about how that translates on the road when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers victors over Northwestern on the weekend, 89-57. They've been putting their foot on the gas when everybody comes back in the game about that 7-minute mark.
That's not the only place they're putting their foot.
Yeah, that too. But the last few games they've been doing that, and we've been talking about the statistics that just show how good the offense has been hitting the boards defensively. This is not the same unit that we saw earlier in the season when we all wondered if they'd ever know how to play defense or even consider playing defense. They're playing it much better. Is it great defense? It's causing enough problems, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's winning. They're not giving up layups. I know that. Watch the game. You don't see a ton of layups going in the basket. Those are shots that teams can stay in the game with. If you're going to give teams that aren't as good as you easy baskets, they can stick around a little bit longer. If Trey Demps is going to hit 24 footers with Yogi's hand in his face, God
so
bless
you,
Halliburton. He's done it for the last 3 years.
Right,
that's not
well.
Surprising. He's doing it again. But the point is, Indiana doesn't give up as many of those anymore. And one of the reasons why, in my opinion, is they have better basketball players than Northwestern does. They have better basketball players than Illinois does. They have better basketball players than Minnesota does. Who else was in this trail of tears that we saw? Ohio State, again, when you blow a team out, the game's over in 25 minutes. The first 5 minutes is the second half. If they don't put any teeth in the lead, it's done. Because Indiana's still shooting, still trying to score, and they're not going to stop trying to score. So if you don't stop Indiana, if you're not good enough defensively, and Minnesota's not, and Northwestern's not, and Illinois' not collectively.
Ohio State tried to put together a couple of things, but really Indiana just turned around and stomped that right out.
And Ohio State had one guy that could score, and that was about a half guy more than Northwestern had consistently, because after Demps got screened off by Bryant to end the first half, his arms and his shoulder, and that is by far their best offensive player. Yeah. So he's done. You know that game is over. But Indiana did, Dave, exactly what they needed to do. They moved the basketball properly. They didn't take bad shots. They made the extra pass. They got wide open shots. And when they do that, any offensive number you run from KenPom to simple field goal percentage shows you that's a really bad idea defensively.
Absolutely. And there's always some little things I think you can look at and see if they will continue. Thomas Bryant has been on a real nice streak. Wasn't his greatest game yesterday, 18 minutes, 7 points, only 2 rebounds, 4 fouls. He had his struggles with Alex Ola. He had struggles, of course, out at Rutgers and only played 6 minutes in that game. So we've seen him be up and down. And going to Wisconsin here tomorrow night, that'll be an interesting trip for him and everyone, really. Nigel Hayes just took it to the entire front court of Indiana in the home game here, almost fouled out all of them. Troy Williams with a slow start, which he had been much better about the last couple games before that. But not a disastrous start at that, or not a disastrous game, rather. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, did have 3 turnovers. But the team, here's an important statistic for this offense. They were averaging almost 19 turnovers in the first 3 games of the Big Ten season. And since then, they're averaging closer to 12. That's a big number for them. We saw how bad that could get. It was 23 at Rutgers. We know where that
Rutgers,
can be.
Rutgers, tight game because of turnovers. Nebraska, tight game because of turnovers. And the first home game, Wisconsin tight,
19.
Game, tight game because of turnovers. 20, and they didn't shoot it very well in that game as well. The formula isn't hard to figure out. When Indiana is playing well, they don't turn it over. They move the basketball, and they don't settle.
Right.
When they try to force it, and you saw it in the Minnesota game, why do I bring that up? People tell me, well, Indiana doesn't shoot very well there, and that's not hugely surprising. You want to go ahead and give the record at the new Kohl Center up there?
Yeah, it's not very good.
No, it's not very good either. But those are games you need to find a way to win, and you won't find it by trying to go back to old habits that don't work. Playing out of control, forcing it in spots where there shouldn't be, taking quick threes, your first quick three in the shot clock, when you've seen how the ball movement and getting through the lane and getting through the paint creates easier and better shots. It's a simple formula. The hard part is trusting yourself to do it when it's not your crowd with flags,
every time,
and it's not your crowd going crazy, and you lead by 30 points. Indiana hasn't played a lot of that.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Travis.
Hello, Travis.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Winning. Good. First place.
It always feels
how
good.
About that?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I've got, I guess, a statement and a question for you. I'm hoping that they're going to continue playing better. I know I've heard, some people say, well, they're playing this team or that team. What I like to see, though, is that they're playing that way no matter who it is. And to me, they're being more aggressive on deep. They're actually playing defense. I actually see guys blocking out, and I see guys, taking decent shots.
And let's be fair. Earlier in the season, they had nowhere to go but up. They had to get better.
Yeah, everybody says we're playing the easy part of the Big Ten, and we are. But this easy part of the Big Ten is still better than most of our pre-conference schedule when they weren't playing defense and they were turning it over and they were doing all those things.
Right. Well, and that's why I'm just kind of wondering, which I'm happy to see, and hopefully when they hit some tougher competition, hopefully this new attitude or whatever you want to call it is getting in, they're making that a part of the team. And they're realizing, hey, when you actually play this way, a lot of good things can happen.
It is, and now it has to travel, because you saw at Minnesota, they were down 8-2 at the first TV timeout, and they were down 29-20 against, and the Minnesota team is not very good. They haven't won a game in the league. They've lost 12 or 13.
On the road, they have an average of 7-point winning margin. At home, it's 23.
Sure.
I mean, it's dramatic difference so far.
Smaller sample size, but the point is the effort has to go, and we've talked about that a lot on this program, and I agree with you. Playing hard shouldn't matter what gym you're in. Blocking out doesn't matter what the shooting backdrop is. That doesn't matter.
None of that stuff depends on another facet of the game. Blocking out, blocking out. But anyway, what I was kind of wondering, I don't know if you guys had heard or what you may think, that after the Duke game, it almost feels to me like someone got a hold of him and said, hey, if you don't do something, you're not going to be here next year, because you've got, talent-wise, one of the best teams in the country, and you're just flopping. You're just giving this away. Ever since then, I don't know if he's letting some other coach do a little more in practice or have a little more say, or maybe he's gone back and looked at tapes, because, in my opinion, he's totally changed. And that's hard to do when you've coached a certain way for years and you're kind of setting your ways about things, and maybe he has that ability. I don't know.
I think when you look after the Duke game, Travis, if you look at the schedule Indiana's played, they've played in this 12-game winning streak. One of these teams is going to the NCAA tournament, Notre Dame. One? I mean, until, and this is not their fault, this is just theory being talked about, two dudes on the radio. When they win at Wisconsin, who's 3-4,
right?
Wisconsin, not 7-1. Wisconsin, they're 3-4.
Wisconsin, Ohio State are decent enough. They get there, but
the 3-4 and they're 11-10.
Yeah,
it's not a tournament team.
Look, the team has played different since they started the Big Ten season.
They
won more games after the Duke game, but they've played better and played differently, especially on the defensive end.
And
it's only the last four games as far as the offense not turning the ball over. Something is clicking with this team. I think everybody wants to say that Tom Crean has changed a lot of the things that he's doing.
They were down 16 against Notre Dame. That didn't change after the Duke game,
Travis.
I'm not
so certain that's it. Sometimes it gets through, sometimes it doesn't.
They're down 16 in the second half against Notre Dame with 10 minutes to go. There was nothing that changed after the Duke game. I'm not picking on you, but I don't want people to see that as some come-to-Jesus watermark, because it wasn't. The comeback against Notre Dame was. That's a neutral floor. At the time, was a decent opponent who could score and fill it up, and you stopped him from doing it. The games they've played subsequently, I maybe can throw Ohio State in there as they beat Kentucky. You can make that argument. The transitive property, I know, is a wonderful
Wisconsin,
thing.
Wisconsin, if they win some games.
But here's what's happened. Indiana has shot the ball at an incredible clip. Moving forward since then, they shoot the basketball really, really well, and they've played teams that on paper they are better than, and they have simply done their work. And I think that's a positive sign, because you can talk about playing to the level of your opponent when you're 4-4.
Right.
They're 7-0. Yeah, maybe they haven't played 40 minutes of hell every night, but they've won all seven times they've laced it up in the conference, and that's saying something, because that's not a team that you saw against Wake Forest or UNLV. You thought, hey, if they go to a fair fight somewhere, maybe on the road, I don't know if this is going to work itself out. So we have to give him credit for at least fixing what was wrong to a degree. It's not better, and you shouldn't be playing your best basketball in January. They should be ramping up to that, and they're going to get the big test. Travis, good job as always.
Thanks for the
phone call.
He always
pays attention.
Yeah, and again, I think it's too much is being made of the idea that Tom Crean changed a whole bunch of stuff. There's a couple things I think you can point to. First of all, on the defensive side, you're not seeing him switch defenses in the same possession.
There you go. That's tangible, something different.
Again, I have my theories on that. I think he's trying to jog up his team and get him to pay more attention by keeping them mentally, or attempting to keep them mentally in it. It didn't work. I mean, it did not work. There's no way you can say it worked. And nobody can say that it worked. And he might, but nobody's going to actually believe that. But now that you're not doing it, you've simplified things for people. They're playing with more attention and more intensity on the defensive end.
If you
watch him, it is different play by everyone out there, because it wasn't just James Blackman that wasn't playing good defense.
No, it's not.
He wasn't very good man on. But Troy wasn't also. Yogi wasn't applying himself well enough. Thomas Bryant had a long way to go. Colin Hartman still has issues, foot speed wise, about being with people. So, they're better on that end, but a lot of that's got to do with attention and effort.
And a lot of it has to do with playing good offense. When you hit shots, when you have leads, boy, it's a lot easier to dig in and get tough.
Feels better.
Tough teams have to find a way to do it. 9 points down at Minnesota, which they found a way and dug out of it. Against Wisconsin, they got a little bit of a dogfight there. Again, not senior, heavily dominated teams, but they're the teams you're playing that day, and that's what you're learning from. And when you can find ways to do that, when it's not going swimmingly, and there hasn't been many examples to pick from, that's a sign of growth. That's a sign of getting better. This team should progress. You don't look at this roster and say, oh, they need this or that. They've lost a 16-point-a-game score. Mm-hmm. They have found a way to get on with it without that. I don't know if I could have said that last year if James Blackman missed more time, or Robert Johnson's ankle really hurt, or whatever the example you can use. And the one thing that they have been blessed with is Yogi Ferrell doesn't get in foul trouble, because if he's taking a couple plays off and not fouling a guy, fine with me, because he's playing him 35 minutes a night. They haven't had to deal with that hiccup yet, and he has had no injury problems, and that's perfect for a senior point guard.
And we've got an inside option this year, and two of them, in fact. I mean, Max Bielfeld isn't going to remind everybody of Hakeem Olajuwon, but between he and Bryant, you've got an actual option inside, and a guy that can not only rebound but can score inside and outside. That's a different element, too.
Against the teams they have played right now, that is absolutely correct. Beat Wisconsin on tomorrow night, beat Minnesota on Saturday, and you are 9-0 to start the Big Ten season. Mm-hmm. And you can afford to stub your toe couple times when things get a little hardy-darty on the road there. When things get a little deep in the pool, you can afford to stub your toe a couple times because you've done the business. You haven't had one of those, oh, man, we shoulda, woulda, coulda games.
We blew that one. Right,
you've done
exactly.
it.
Not yet.
You have done the business, and that is the key.
Three of the next four of the next six are on the road. We will talk about if we think this travels when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. So the Hoosiers currently, a half a game, I guess, ahead of Iowa at this point.
Nah, both seven.
No, they're both 7-0 after yesterday.
Everybody's 7-0.
Iowa beat Purdue.
They did. Nice 23-6 run there in the second half. The Boilermakers were having no problem punching with the Hawkeyes. But Purdue's big men got run out of the gym. Adam Woodbury's points and rebounds more than Hammonds and Haas combined. And that Utah kid's pretty good, and so is Jock, and so is Clemens, and so is Gazelle, and so is, and so is, and so is. That's a home-and-home wins now for the Boilermakers, against the Boilermakers, home-and-home with Michigan State. Iowa 7-0 heads to Maryland on Thursday. That'll be a tasty one, and they'll know what they'll have to do, as the Hoosiers obviously play tomorrow night.
In Wisconsin's first visit, or their visit to Assembly Hall just a week or two ago, defensively did a real good job on the Hoosiers. 19 turnovers for Indiana, shot 48%, but only 7 of 17 on threes. And we've seen, 13 and 19 threes the last two games.
The foul line.
So the question becomes, and this is important now, obviously, because you got three of your next four of your next six on the road. How does this show travel for the Hoosiers? Because in their first three road games, their margin of victory was only 7 points. None of them were easy, and all three of them were hard, in fact.
Yep.
With some deficits in every one of them. So can it travel? Will it travel is the question.
Well, it can. There's no question about it. When you win 12 in a row, that's not by accident. You can't fluke it 12 times in a row. You can fluke it once or twice in that run. Yeah, perhaps it doesn't go your way. The Minnesota game sticks out to me. Again, that's an 11:30 no-crowd game on a Saturday morning or whatever that was, and they didn't bring it. They out-talented Minnesota that day. They did not play better basketball than them. Tom Crean even said to a degree as much on his radio program, we settled, we didn't attack, we didn't think we got the whistle, whatever it was. But the point is, sometimes you just can't. In gyms, you don't make all your shots. Continue to shoot those shots. You have to find another way to get smart, to get through the paint, to hopefully draw fouls. And Dave, this is where that defensive number will come in as well. Remember, Minnesota was the worst team in the league defensively, and Indiana only got 70 points on that day.
Yeah.
Their defense did save them a little bit. Yeah, they only gave up 63. That was the good news. But you have to bring that. That's not something that gets lost at customs. That's not something that gets left in the bus. You can bring that.
Wisconsin's not in Canada. You know?
You're allowed to play hard. Doesn't matter where you're playing or what your record is in the gym. And that was the thing. As long as you get after it, I don't think fans are going to get upset. I don't think fans after a 12-game winning streak are going to be lost – if Wisconsin happens to make one more shot than Indiana does tomorrow night. I don't think that's going to be the case. But if Indiana falls asleep at the wheel and you start wondering, well, heck, how do you do this at home and how does it not translate on the road? And I think it's a simple formula we've already talked about. The ball has to move. The ball can't settle. And remember, Wisconsin's got more game film on you now than they had before. Wisconsin already took you pretty much to the wire.
Absolutely.
About 38 and a half minutes
worth.
There's
4 points with a three at the buzzer, but
But four points, that's pretty close. Minnesota had it down to three with 18 seconds left. There are some ways that you can see, and if Indiana doesn't have Nick Zeisloff knocked down four in a row, you don't know what happens in that game. But the point was they did. Can that carry over? Yes. But do I like Nick Zeisloff shooting wide open threes or fadeaway threes in the corner? It's not a hard question
right,
to ask.
Exactly.
Do you take the contested three or do you move it one more pass and maybe get Thomas Bryant a dunk? That's the maturity I'm looking for tomorrow night because you're going to have 18,000 and change there. It's going to be loud in Wisconsin. It's an ESPN game. They've won two in a row. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. Their freshman big kid, Happ, is the Big Ten freshman player of the week this week, so he's been doing things well. As you heard Joe say right before we went on the air, it's their first two-game winning streak in some time, so they have found something that's settled down.
And since the coach took over, their defense has shown back up a bit, and they've taken some teams down to the wire, and it was 77-76 against Michigan State. But again, they had the game here. They were 61-55 against Purdue. It's going to be more of a grind-out game.
It is.
So that is the question for the Hoosiers. How patient are they on the road in a team that's used to winning?
Yes. They're used to playing at their speed.
Yes.
And when they don't play at their speed, that's when they've been asked the most questions. Right. And that's usually the result of what? Turning the ball over frequently because the other team can do what they want with it when they have the ball. they don't have to play at a breakneck pace. And the other part is if they get hurt on the glass, especially on the offensive glass, getting second shots. Because where do a lot of second shots come from if you're getting beat on the offensive rebound? They come right at the hoop.
Right.
And then guys get in foul trouble and guys have to deal with that. And the other team's usually shooting layups. Indiana's a good offensive rebounding team, Dave, because they shoot a lot of threes in transition and the ball kicks back and they've got everybody running down the court. It's a little bit different on styles of play there. But Wisconsin, I don't think track meets the way they want to do it. But what you saw Michigan State do at Wisconsin, I think Indiana has to be completely aware of. Nigel Hayes is 29 and Koenig is 27, or it's 27 and 25.
Yeah.
They let the best two players go crazy. I told you, if Vito Brown's going to come in here and kill us, God bless America.
Right.
Yeah. You can't let Koenig and Hayes beat you because they'll take those shots.
Mm-hmm.
Vito Brown ain't taking those shots. Happ probably isn't going to take. They're going to play their roles.
Right.
And if those guys are hitting everything and those guys are playing their roles,
what do you do?
Look like us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happens. So what does Indiana have to do? They don't have to play perfect defensively. They have to be aware. If Wisconsin's in transition, if they're going to run 25-second sets, you can't fall asleep on Koenig. You can fall asleep on Vito Brown, but you can't fall asleep on those guys.
Koenig and Hayes were 7 of 25 at Indiana.
Here. Right,
Hayes got everybody in foul trouble for the Hoosiers that day. That was a big issue as Colin Hartman was two fouls in the first about 2 or 3 minutes. OG Anunoby had four fouls on the day, as did Hartman, and Juwan Morgan fouled out. He was a monster, but did not.
He's active. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. But he did not make all of his shots, and that was part of the issue. Is they made it harder later in the second half. The two freshmen did a really good job making it hard on Nigel Hayes. And yes, they accumulated some shots, fouls, but they did make it difficult on him. So
Wisconsin's defense
has got to be part of this.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing about that first matchup against them is so much of it came down to those two freshmen on Nigel Hayes, not necessarily shutting him down, but making it really damn difficult.
Well, and Koenig had a quiet night as well. He hit some shots late. What were the Badgers at the line in that game?
They were 16 of 23. That's not very good.
Well, and I think three or four of those were 1-1s. I'm going off the top of my head here because I remember in the first half you think
Hayes was 8 of 11.
Not bad with his new
shots. He had a couple
losses.
He misses here and there. You know?
But I think they were front ends in the first half. And again, those are. Well, you'll take them, but you think Wisconsin's going to shoot better at home. You think Wisconsin's going to be more confident at home. Why does Indiana play well better here? Well, the same reason everybody plays better at home, because you're comfortable, you're in your own bed, you don't have to travel, and it's your rims, it's your Baden basketballs or Baden basketballs that nobody else uses.
How much do you look at this and say, though, the 19 turnovers were such a big factor in this game for the Hoosiers? They're doing better at that now. And if they're in their 12 to 13 range up at Wisconsin, that makes a big difference for them.
The argument we
or can
made,
we not expect that?
The
that,
argument
that good.
Well, I think this will shed some light in my opinion. And if I'm wrong, please holler at me. Ohio State, I thought, would give Indiana more problems defensively because of their athletes.
Yes.
Wisconsin is better organized defensively and has good basketball players.
Makes sense.
That's why I think
Indiana
struggled.
And you saw the disorganization of Ohio State, too. They athletes were. Didn't matter.
Now,
they were all
if
over the map.
If these were 100-meter dashes shot contests, you're right. Wisconsin rotates well. They're not off on the wrong side of the ball. They're not reaching 35 feet away from the basket. They're better defensively, and I think that leads to some of those turnovers because the more Indiana dribbles, they tend to run into some problems, whether it's late in the clock, where they're not getting that, or they're getting frustrated because there isn't things happening. When they're not moving without the ball, then they have to create everything solo. And sometimes when the head goes down and the ball, bad things happen, man. So have they learned from it? Yes. Can they apply it? Wisconsin's, I don't want to say like the wishbone in football, but you don't see that 40 minutes of...
No, there's not a lot of teams that are that organized nowadays.
Right.
Everybody's trying to rely on their athletes and picking and roll stuff everywhere.
That is exactly right. So Wisconsin's going to make you earn it. They've always made Indiana earn it. I think they've lost, 14 of the last 16 up there. Their last win was Dick Bennett was the head coach in 1998.
Yeah.
And it's a tough place to play. I get it. The good news about Indiana and the good news about their schedule is if they lose on Tuesday and they have to win on Saturday, you can't give me what-ifs on an 0-for team that's lost 100 in a row.
You can't lose them.
Okay, you're 8-1.
Yeah.
And if you told me 2 months ago you'd be 8-1 at the February 1st poll, I don't think anybody would complain. So let's keep that in perspective. If Indiana doesn't play a great game Tuesday night, I don't think that signifies the end of anything. If Indiana plays a not very good game Tuesday night and then lays an egg and gets beat by winless Minnesota on Saturday, I've got a whole other show for you next Monday.
Right, that's completely different. I mean, let's look at
that's
Wisconsin.
That's the perspective you need to look at.
Let's look at Wisconsin now. I mean, what you saw the last couple of years out of this team is that they would stub their toe and they'd blow somebody out at home and then stub their toe either at home or on the
Indiana,
road.
Indiana, you talking about?
Yes. And while they have not played great on the road in the Big Ten, they have found their way through those games. And yes, it's not the greatest.
The bottom.
It's not Kennesaw State when you go to Rutgers, so let's be fair there. But if it holds true to form, they're going to be in a dogfight. And why wouldn't it be a dogfight at Wisconsin? You would expect it to be a dogfight at Wisconsin. Can a senior point guard, can some guys making better decisions now on an upswing for the team, can they make all of those? And at the end of the day, like you said, if they lose that, is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. The Minnesota situation, again, losing to Minnesota at home would
be even think about
completely
that, right?
Different. The question now is, do you go up there and compete the way you've been competing against Wisconsin? Do you beat a team that right now you're more talented than and, quite frankly, playing better than?
Dave, they're 11-9.
It's on the road. It's a road game. It's a tough road game. It's a tough road game against a program that's used to winning and used to doing its thing. So that's not an easy game. It can't be treated that way, and they certainly can't treat it that way.
Their last game, the Bucky Badger played last Thursday. They had the weekend off. They went to University Park and beat Penn State 66-60. After Penn State's big win at Northwestern the week beforehand. The enemy of the enemy is my friend. So they've had 5 days off. The Hoosiers have had just a couple of days off, but that's the luck of the other part of the draw in the schedule as well. The one thing that will hurt Indiana tomorrow night is if Yogi Ferrell has one of those off nights that we don't see very often from him, because that will force somebody else to create. If Yogi has a 5-for-17 night, Dave, Indiana, I think, will struggle to win the basketball game. There's no doubt about it. But as we've seen, it's one shot here or one shot there on the road. It doesn't have to be 17 from Zeislav, 15 from Bielefeld, 13 from Hartman, 20 from Williams.
We had some down halves, at the very least, from Yogi earlier in the Big Ten season on the road, and somebody has managed to step up. It would be nice to not have those, but yes.
That's
tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, ESPN, IU,
How
at Wisconsin.
How do you overcome adversity? There hasn't been much to deal with. I think there'll be a little bit more tomorrow night.
Got to take a quick break. When we get back, we have our Super Bowl matchup nailed down. We'll talk about the AFC and NFC championship games in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. We had our championship games over the weekend. You heard them here on WGCL.
And you'll hear the Pro Bowl coming up this Sunday. No off week for us. We'll get you all covered on that as coverage starts at 6:30 right here on WGCL. So a week off before the Super Bowl, but Pro Bowl fills that gap nicely. So what is that, Dave? About 26 weeks in a row of pro football we've had. Hop on board, Gus. It's all happening, and it should be this time of the year.
The AFC Championship started us off with yet another matchup of Manning versus Brady, the Broncos and the Patriots in Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado. The Patriots' offensive line's been banged up during the course of the season. A couple of their key players dealing with some injuries. Peyton Manning, of course, sat out half the season with a foot problem. But at the end of the day, Wade Phillips and that Denver defense are the huge story in this game. And Glass, everybody's going to talk about the defensive line, and they should. It was dominant. It got to Brady all day long. You see Tom Brady back there trying to do ballet moves to get out of the way of people and not sure what he's doing. There weren't even guys around him sometimes. He's trying to do ballet moves. He was so freaked out by the whole thing. But what you have to do is you have to credit Wade Phillips and the game plan that he put together, because when you get to the level of guys like Bill Belichick, they've got an entire game plan figured out for every drive, every quarter. It's not a, I'm going to do this all day long. You've got to do different stuff constantly to stay ahead of a guy like that. And they kept arguably the best quarterback that's ever played the game of football, not just into a bad game. They kept him completely confused and unsure of what he was seeing all day long. That takes a lot of work. Because all it takes is a drive or two to figure out a single game plan. You got to keep switching it up during the course of that thing and show them looks that they haven't seen on tape to do that to Tom Brady, and they managed to do it.
Yeah, when you can get to the quarterback too, those looks help out even more. Like you mentioned, how many times did you see even in the last quarter where Brady is just trying to avoid the sack? He doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's broken down. He had his 2 seconds, and that wasn't enough.
On their last drive, he had to throw it away three times or something like that.
In the drive before that, three times in the drive before that. And what else would you do? Let him sit back there and let him pick you apart?
Well, but you
can get to him. They got to him.
So much in sports is,
where?
What is your identity?
Vaughn
what do you
Miller.
Do? He took his identity, which, they blitzed more than just about every team in the NFL I saw statistically this year. He took that and turned it completely on its head. And I think I saw that they had only rushed three rushers like 12 times all year long, but he did it 30 times or something like that this weekend against Tom Brady. Completely changed the way that defense plays every week and looks. Now, he's still got the athletes, obviously, so Vaughn Miller and DeMarcus Ware can still blow by the injured tackles.
Sure.
But it started with the look that Tom Brady got on every play because he didn't know what to do.
Well, and the other part that didn't hurt anything was the Broncos were ahead the entire game. And when you get ahead, that forces, New England can't keep you on the field all day and kind of do what they want to do. But in the second half, this is what Denver's defense had to do, just to put it in perspective. Halftime goes at 17-9, right? End of the half. Denver, 3 and out. Denver, 7 plays, punt, 3 plays, punt, 10 plays, field goal, 3 plays, punt, 3 plays, punt.
Yeah.
They didn't move the ball at all in the second half, except when they got the turnover, right? When that was it. Led to the field goal, wasn't it?
Right.
I think it was a turnover.
At one point in the middle of third quarter, late third quarter, there was like 100 or 360 combined total yards.
Yeah, there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
And Denver's offense, that's the amazing part of it. Their offense gave their defense one drive in the second half.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're on
defense
the field the whole time.
That's right.
But what's the advantage? They live there. They train there. They practice there.
Mm-hmm.
If the shoe was on the other foot, I would think that Denver would have ran right over them. They told you to watch your time of possession earlier in that game. And when Denver had the lead, that was interesting. But Gronkowski's gassed halfway through the fourth quarter.
Exactly
he's gassed.
Right.
Well, you know why? He's the only guy that's healthy.
Yeah.
He has to play every day.
He's not even all that healthy. And
right.
He's huffing and puffing.
Compared to anything else. But the Broncos' offense had 2 plays in the second half that went for over 10 yards.
Yep.
So to keep their defense on there to get to him the whole time, it was unbelievable. And the other point that someone brought up, I think it was on the coverage, I didn't even know the back that New England was throwing the wheel routes to. Did they not have any other wide receivers?
Well, here's what they were doing.
They're trying to get a matchup, but it didn't work. They're running right with it.
Again, teams are changing every little chess piece during the course of the game. What they found was they wanted to try that running back, who's fast. He's just the old Wisconsin running back. They wanted to try him on the linebacker. And they threw it about 6 or 7 different times in the second half to this guy, and it just missed on several of them.
Yeah.
They've had success with that route. They like that matchup. It's a smart matchup. I mean, really, is. They got deep on him a couple times. They just couldn't connect because they still have Tom Brady shaking his feet back there and jumping around.
When the Patriots have to resort to wheel routes to a guy you've never heard of before, your defense is doing something correctly. Two turnovers for the Patriots, one for the Broncos. Manning was not responsible for it. He had two touchdown passes in the first half that gave them a lead, 17-9, going in the locker room. And, again, stayed out of the way. The key to Denver isn't their offense. This is the first team in the AFC to score 20 or less to win a title game since 2000. Hmm. If you don't score in this league, we've talked about it 1,000 times, that just goes to show, again, it reinforces how good Denver's defense was.
And again, they got pressure on Tom Brady all day long because they kept him confused. But what kept him confused more than anything else was the coverages they showed. Tom Brady, we saw it in the game before that against Kansas City. They like to get the ball out of his hands quickly because they've got quick guys underneath. They've got Gronkowski underneath. These are all guys that can get the ball out of Brady's hands quickly so that he doesn't get that kind of pressure. What Denver did a lot of is only 3- and 4-man rushes. They kept everybody on the underneath routes and crowded those zones so that he had nowhere to go. He was going to throw into coverage. In fact, he did. Right?
He threw the ball away. Miller. How many times? Yes.
So him having to hold on to it gives Von Miller an extra half second or second to get to him, which they obviously did much better than we saw the week before. They did not have that kind of pressure the week before Denver did in their home game that they played. But in this game, I mean, 23 hits, we said.
23 hits. He'd taken 12 all year long.
For Tom Brady? No, 12 was the most he had taken.
This season, he took 23 on the day. Yeah. Pro Football Focus says, on 39 passes with a 4-man rush, Denver had 2 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, and 5 hurries. They created pressure on 48.7% of the dropbacks. So what's the point? The point is they got him uncomfortable, and he didn't handle it very well. No. Brady was 27 of 56. When do you see Tom Brady under 500?
Yeah, exactly.
Against Denver, I guess, because he can't beat him. Danny Cannell and Tim Tebow, the only two guys of Denver he's beaten.
Wow.
In the playoffs.
Well, that's a good team.
Don't cry for me, Argentina, or wherever it is you may be going.
It's the well-rounded teams that go to the Super Bowl, and it just so happens it's Denver and Carolina, two of the more well-rounded teams. Denver offense, can they keep up?
You lose your quarterback, you don't make the playoffs. Yeah. You lose your offensive line, you get to the AFC Championship game, and you're a two-point conversion away. It's tough.
And Brock Osweiler did a real good job, by the way, for about 6 or 7 weeks, keeping him in the game.
But again, all that credit to Denver. And Tom Brady still hits Gronkowski with 18 seconds left, and there was still a two-point conversion. That's it.
Hey, folks, we got to take off. We'll be back Wednesday night. We'll talk about that big Hoosier victory up at the Kohl Center in Madison on Wednesday. So join us then. You've been in the zone.